This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. All right, let me read to you from the introduction of a new book called The Poetry of Wing Lei. Wing Lei was a monk poet who was born in the Jingzhi province of China around 845 AD, making him an almost exact contemporary of the Chinese poetry masters Li Po, Tu Fu, and Wang Wei. His early life was spent in relative anonymity as a mid-level government official in the province, though it is known that he wrote poetry in this time. When his beloved wife Nangini was drowned in a flood in the spring of 885, he gave up his government work, took vows at a nearby monastery, spending 7 years there before embarking on his travels through the Chinese countryside, writing poetry and living on the charity of those he met. He died around 905 AD. These poems are a record of his life and travels. In fact, the book is not a translation, but original poems by Alex Grant, a poet based in Chapel Hill. He uses the story of Wing Lei to explore the ideas of a monastic life, travel, nature, and loss. And Alex Grant joins me in the studio today. Welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank. It's great to be back.
Let's start with 9th century and 8th century Chinese poetry. How did you encounter it?
I can't remember exactly when I first read it, but all I can say is that the Chinese poets have always fascinated me, both for the language that they use, which is beautiful, although it's very simple, but mainly because although the poems were written 1,200 years ago, they could have been written yesterday, and they're every bit as relevant and every bit as moving as they were then. So,
How so? Is it in the imagery, in the themes? What is it that you think is still contemporary?
I think it's mostly the subject matter. They write about their friends. They write about the natural world. They write about carousing. They write about their lust for life and their appreciation of the world. And that's just as relevant today as it was then. So it's something I think that everybody can relate to. It's not esoteric, it's not dense, it's very straightforward, but it's very beautiful, and it's very relevant. So
when did you get the idea to create Wing Lei?
I had been reading a lot of Chinese poetry, Li Po particularly, and as I say, I've always loved them, but I kind of got a little bit more immersed than usual, and then I thought, well, you know, this kind of speaks to me so much, and I know why it is that it speaks to me, that I think maybe I'll try to write a book of poems in the voice of a 9th century Chinese monk poet.
And you don't read Chinese, you don't know Chinese, you're reading these all in translation.
Yes.
Yeah. Was that an issue for you at all when you tried to create the voice of this monk?
The translation?
Yeah, the idea of the language, what he would be saying and how he'd be saying it, what it would sound like.
Okay. Actually, it wasn't, and I think that was one of the reasons it was so appealing, because for me anyway, they're so direct in how they address things, right, and it's so simple, but it's so beautiful that I just knew that I would be able to you know, achieve that.
Can we have a sample right now of one of your poems?
We do. This poem is called The Hanging Temple at Hengshan, and Hengshan is a temple that still exists today, and is built on the side of a mountain, high up in a mountain, and it obviously existed in the 9th century too. The Hanging Temple at Hengshan. I climb through mountain ash and rowanberry trees, reach the promontory, see the foothills spread below. The mountain goats of Tiger Leaping Gorge, clattering up the scree, stop to turn, rear up and butt heads, send their bony echoes clear across the valley. I drop my knapsack on wet pine needles, pull out a flask of plum wine, find a tea egg wrapped in rice paper, mutter a small prayer to Buddha. The wind changes direction. I hear prayer bells clang, inhale the scent of burning sandalwood, feel the blast of the trumpets bounce inside my ears, the wine warming my stomach. The monks chant the five remembrances. I am sure to become old. I am sure to become ill. I am sure to die. I am sure to become separated from all that is dear to me. I am the owner and heir of my actions. I pour another cup of wine and think of my wife, of the boyhood games in my village, of the way my grandmother's hands shook when she touched my hair. I gulp the wine, watch a pair of red eagles riding the updrafts.
Alex Grant from his latest collection of poetry, titled The Poetry of Wing Lei. That one is called The Hanging Temple at Hangshan. Is there such a temple?
Yes, it still exists, and it's built high up on a mountain, into the side of the mountain. And it's just amazing that they were able to do it, given where it is.
I should also point out that I think every one of these poems has a flask of plum wine.
Yes,
and not a drop remains by the end of the poem.
Pretty much.
Wonderful stuff. What about the idea of a monastic poet, a monastic poet? What attracts you to that idea?
What attracts me is, and again, this is a lot to do with some of the other monk poets, it's the secular and the sacred. It's the approach to life that they had, which I think was just really wonderful, which is appreciation for all things. And they did have this, you know, sacred notion of what they did, but they also were fully involved and fully engaged with the world in all of the ways that, you know, some other religions or philosophies might kind of look down on. But
It is infused with Buddhist philosophy.
Yes, yes.
And it gives lie to the notion, I think, and this is the sort of how we misunderstand everybody else's religion, if it is someone else's in your case, that the idea of renunciation and monasticism would lead to some asceticism that would be very unpleasant and very unworldly.
Right. And for those guys, that wasn't true because, as I say, that's what I love about that. And that's what I love about much of Buddhist philosophy as I see it as well. It's about embracing the world. It's not about pushing it away. It's about embracing all of it with a lust. You know, that may be a bad word for it, but, you know, a lust for life. That's kind of how I see it.
Will you read another one for us?
Sure. This one is called Leaves Falling from the Mulberry Tree. The Buddha said that all things must pass. 60 years, and finally I hear his words with a grain of understanding, this quiet acceptance brimming up like a slowly breaking wave. I forgive all of it. The general marching his army toward nameless cities, the merchant who profits from the toil of the poor, the drunken priest in the mountain temple, the poet selling his words for a bowl of rice, the woman making worthless potions from licorice and opium, her customers always finding their way back to her, the beggars who robbed me while I slept, all fading like the sun setting over Tai Mountain. And I remember climbing into my grandmother's mulberry tree, my hands stained purple by the fruit, looking down onto the garden below, wondering why she bowed to every flower and bush. Today, my hands are blue as heaven. She looks up and beckons me down.
Alex Grant, reading from The Poetry of Wing Lei, that poem entitled Leaves Falling from the Mulberry Tree. Certainly there is in the foreground of this poem a theme about death and about letting go. And again, it's sort of a very Buddhist idea with tangible, palpable kinds of imagery. Did you feel at all that you had to do any research about how they were looking at how they interpreted Buddhism or any of that? Or was it your just gut feeling about how this poetry felt to you?
I've always been interested in Chinese culture and philosophy, especially from that period. And I have a pretty deep interest in Buddhism too, although I'm not a practicing Buddhist. I mean, I kind of try to be Buddhist a little bit more than I used to be. But so I already kind of had quite a bit of knowledge about how these guys were. And I had done some research into their lives, those and the Japanese poets. So, you know, I guess I augmented that a little while I was writing the book, you know, for you know, historical accuracy and cultural accuracy and that kind of thing.
Did Wing Lei come to life for you as you wrote these poems?
This is going to sound like a total cliche, but it's true. I was Wing Lei when I wrote these poems. I mean, I just was. I hated when I finished writing it because, you know, I had just completely... It's the only time I've ever become another character or had an alter ego. And I was just completely immersed. I was Wing Lei when I wrote them.
Did you become Wing Lei or were you all of a sudden Wing Lei?
It was right from the beginning. Oh. It was right from the beginning, from when I very first started to write the first poem, yeah.
Did it affect how you were living your life? I mean, could you go in and out of that persona, or did you feel as though you were seeing things?
You know, it's funny you should ask that, because I didn't really think about it. When I spoke to Susan, your producer, yesterday, and she asked me something similar, and I hadn't really thought about it before, but it has changed. It has changed my outlook and my attitude, because now I'll say things like, I'm trying to be Buddhist about this, whereas before, that would not have been my attitude at all. So it has had an effect, yes.
Well,
yes.
Is there that's an interesting question, because you can live and you hear people talk about secular humanism and mm-hmm. kind of let's get out there and embrace life, and that would be your way of worship and all of that. Mm-hmm. But there is a kind of piety that can be left out of certain forms of humanism that seem a little dry, a little mm-hmm. desiccated. Mm-hmm. Has there been a kind of a piety that's found its way into your, not only your writing, but in a sense the way you live?
I think there has a little bit, although I wouldn't call it piety, because that kind of maybe has slightly negative connotations.
You're a poet and you don't like that word.
But I mean, I've always had a kind of spirituality in my poetry, for want of a better word. But I think this has definitely accentuated that, and it definitely has fed through into my daily life, yes.
Will you read another one for us?
Certainly. This one is called The Tea House. I push off my sandals, cross the threshold, and bow toward the Buddha on the far wall. A girl in a purple kimono leads me to a polished wood table. A sprig of cherry blossom lies in the center of a plain white plate, two sliced red plums arranged around it. The chopsticks rest on a white napkin, pristine and perfectly square. The teapot and bowls, decorated with pale yellow flowers, sit centered on a maple tray. The girl moves to take a bowl away, and I hold out my hand to cover it. She pours two cups, bows, clasps her hands, and backs away from the table. I pull out the blue scarf from my pocket, hold it in my lap, then press it against my face, inhale, catch the faint scent of sandalwood. Such attachments, the Buddha would say, blind us to the truth of the universe. Floating through the world, we hold on like drowning men to driftwood, never glimpsing our true natures. But tonight, I will hold this small fragment of silk, remembering, too, that the way is not in the sky, it is in the heart.
Alex Grant, his latest collection of poetry is called The Poetry of Wing Lei. That's a poem called The Tea House. So is this a love poem? Is this a dedication to his lost wife?
Yeah, yes. In actual fact, the book is a love poem to the world, and from Wing Lei to his wife. That's pretty much how I see it. Yep.
And it's interesting, too, that he decides to, in a sense, hold on. This is not a prescription for letting go, which would be one of the principles. Like, you know what? I can't.
Right. Right. But the last line where it talks about the way is not in the sky, it's in the heart, they're both quotes by the Buddha. The Buddha said the way is not in the sky, but he also says the way is in the heart. So he was kind of reconciling those two conflicting statements. Mm. To justify his holding on, I guess.
Did the poems come easily for you? Was there a lot of, or was there a lot of editing and revising?
I was asked about this recently, and I haven't, or at least when I wrote this book and my last couple of books, I've arrived at an unusual way of writing, which is that I write line by line, and I don't move on to the next line until I'm satisfied with the line that I'm working on. So I'm revising line by line, effectively. And it sounds odd, and people say, well, how do you know what you're writing about? I say, well, I don't, which is actually great, because you can start off thinking you're going to write about one thing and it comes out as something completely different. So, but it's not easy, but I did write this fairly quickly. But I think that was partly because I was so enthused by the idea and I had a lot of time at that time. So
then that last line, those quotes from the Buddha came to you at the last minute. They came to you at the last line, or were you yes. working toward them?
No, you never know what you're... Huh. Well, I don't ever really know what I'm working towards. And in fact, when a poem works best is when the last line surprises you. Mm. Because, as I can't remember who said it, but no surprise in the writer, no surprise in the reader. And it's definitely true. So, no, well, I never know.
So you say the collection itself is a love poem to the world, but yes. of course, sort of the shadow that hangs over this is the death of Wing Lei's wife. Mm-hmm. Can we hear a poem specifically about his lost wife?
Yes. This poem is titled Nagini, which is the name of his wife, and it's the last poem in the book. Nagini. The poet Wing Lei wandered for years in search of his destiny, living on the kindness of others, on barley husks rubbed between his palms, on laughter drifting from sake huts on mountain roads. Years later, facing the universe on his straw bed, he recalled the girl in the pink kimono who smiled as she stepped from the ferry. Nagini, my heart stopped for you.
Nagini, a poem by Alex Grant from his collection, The Poetry of Wing Lei. When this was over, I think you hinted at it a second ago, it was pretty difficult for you. What was it like to suddenly have to leave the persona of your creation?
It was bittersweet because, you know, I was glad that I had, you know, achieved what I set out, or thought I had achieved what I set out to achieve. But I had so much enjoyed being immersed in it. I guess it's kind of like, you know, a kid with a fantasy world or whatever, because that's sort of, I didn't think that at the time, but that's kind of how it was. I was just so fully immersed in it. And it wasn't escapism. It was just a kind of great exercise for my imagination, I think. Right. I think that's the thing that I enjoyed most about it.
So have you thought about having these poems translated into Chinese to hear what they sound like?
That's funny you should say that, because a couple of people have asked me the same thing. And I can't remember why I thought about it, but the other day I was thinking, I would like to ask a Spanish-speaking person or a French-speaker, a native Spanish-speaker or a native French-speaker or German or Greek or whatever, to translate one of my poems and then pass that translation on to someone who speaks that language and a different one, and then have someone translate it back to English and see what it was like, because I bet you it wouldn't even be close. But I've not thought about translating them into Chinese. That would be great.
So now what? Now that you're no longer Wing Lei? Back to Alex Grant.
Well, my focus right now is getting the book out into the world, and that takes an enormous amount of time and energy and effort. So, you know, I've got plenty to occupy me there. I've got my day job too. As far as what's next goes, I have two other completed manuscripts that are with my publisher, so I have stuff on the back boiler, but no, I don't know, actually, what the next thing will be.
Come back when it's done. Always great to have you, Alex.
Great to be here. Thanks very much, Frank.
Alex Grant, the author of several books of poetry, the newest called The Poetry of Wing Lei. For more information, including reader dates later this summer and fall, you go to redroom.com/author/Alex-Grant. Alex, you got to get yourself your own website so I don't have to read these anymore.
Yeah, I know.
All right, thank you. Coming up after a short break, Joe Gore on The Alternative, play live in The State of Things. Stay tuned.